Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take his gospel. On the main street of Malden, Massachusetts, there stands a white frame house. On the front lawn is a marker that reads, Malden, his birthplace, the ocean, his sepulcher. This simple monument quietly notes the birthplace of Adoniram Judson. But markers only summarize, and at that so poorly. One will never know the full story, the burden, the heartache, the pain, the suffering, the death, or the victories of America's first foreign missionary, from only reading this historical marker. Let me share with you more fully tonight the story of Adoniram Judson, America's first foreign missionary. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell this world that I'm a Christian. I'll take his gospel anywhere. This truly amazing man was born to the Reverend Adoniram Judson Sr. and his wife Abigail as they served the First Congregational Church of Malden, Massachusetts on Saturday, August 9th, 1788. He was named Adoniram Judson Jr. He was a very unusual young man. He was active, energetic, self-confident, studious, and he possessed an avid mind for solving puzzles. His grammar school interests included mathematics, Greek, and Latin. So amazing was his ability as a scholar that he entered Brown University 6 days after his 16th birthday. The university found him so versed already in Latin, Greek, mathematics, geography, astronomy, logic, oratory, rhetoric, and moral philosophy that he was allowed to bypass his freshman year, and he entered Brown University as a sophomore, being just barely 16 years old. His impact on the faculty and the student body was almost beyond belief. But in the passing of his college years, one of his closest friends became Jacob Eames of Belfast, Maine. Jacob was an infidel, and the religious beliefs given to Adoniram by his parents completely collapsed in favor of unbelief also. He graduated as valedictorian of his class on September 2nd of 1807. The days that followed were days of rebellion and unbelief to the breaking of his parents' hearts. One evening, while traveling through the country, having been to New York seeking a theatrical career, he stopped at an inn to spend the night. He found himself unexpectedly in a room next to that of a man who was dying. As he was aware through the night of the man's hopeless condition, he found also that he was troubled concerning the subject of death. He was troubled about the man in the room next to his, and also he was troubled about the prospect that he too someday must die. But he sought to calm himself by trying to imagine the attitude and the remarks of his infidel friend Jacob Eames were he to find himself in a similar situation. Finally, late in the night, he drifted off to sleep. The next morning, as he paid for his lodging, he asked about the man in the room next to his. He died last night, came the reply. Do you know who he was? Asked Adoniram. Yes, said the innkeeper as he checked his log. He was a young man from Brown University named Eames. Jacob Eames, Adoniram's infidel friend, had died in the room next to his that previous night. He was never the same following this news of the death of Jacob. The months that followed were still days of inner conflict and battle. But God in his grace and mercy was working definitely and deeply in his life. Finally, he gave himself to the Lord, and for the first time in his life, he had peace. One question remained. How can I order my life that I might best please God? In the passing of time, this question was answered also as his heart became deeply burdened for missions. He longed to become the first American foreign missionary. He resolved while in prayer one day to obey the command of the Great Commission, whatever the cost. Little did he realize then how great that cost would be. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go. It wasn't easy to convince a denomination that didn't have a mission board of the need of one, let alone of the need of missionaries to go to the Orient. No one in America, including the Congregationalists, had ever sent out such a thing as a foreign missionary. But after much prayer and considerable denominational wrangling and travail, God prevailed in behalf of Adoniram and several of his missionary friends. On February 6th of 1812, the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions set apart Adoniram Judson and several others as Christian missionaries. On the day before that, Wednesday, February 5th of 1812, Adoniram was married to Nancy Hazelton. She was 1 year his junior, having been born December 22nd, 1789. He was 23 and she was 22. A few days later, they set sail for India, ready to serve the Lord. Ready to suffer grief or pain, ready to stand the test, ready to stay at home and send others if he sees best, ready to go, ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, ready to do his will. 114 days later, they sighted land once again. But upon landing at Calcutta, problems immediately faced them. In the process of the voyage, Adoniram Judson had become a Baptist. He severed his affiliation with the Congregationalists, from whom he'd had such great difficulty obtaining support, to become a Baptist, who now had a missionary in India and they didn't even know it. But these problems were small compared to others that faced them. It appeared that all doors of service were closed to them and they might have to get back on board ship and return to America. Months of uncertainty passed as they sought for a place of service. Then tragedy struck as Harriet Newell, just 19 years of age, gave birth to a baby which died in her arms. And then she died also. Her husband, one of the accompanying missionaries, by this time was a broken man. Luther Rice, another of the missionaries with Adoniram, was suffering from liver trouble. It was obvious he had to return home or he would die. He left and came back to America to challenge Baptists concerning their responsibility to foreign missions. These departures left Adoniram and Nancy entirely alone. On June 22nd of 1814, still seeking a place of service, following 2 years of uncertainty, they left for Burma, confident that God, in his sovereignty and faithfulness, would guide them. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Defeats and victories mixed together in the years that follow as they traveled and then lived in Rangoon, Burma. En route, their first baby was born dead. Nancy almost died as well. And then when they reached Rangoon, the mission work started so slowly. Years passed, no one was converted. Adoniram had to study 12 hours a day just to learn the language. On September 11th of 1815, Roger Williams Judson was born. But a few months later, he died also. By 1817, a tract for the Burmese people had been printed in their language, followed by a catechism. And then the Gospel of Matthew was finished late in May of 1817. These all were being distributed with prayer for God's blessings. A dictionary was begun, but sickness, fever, and near-death attacked Adoniram and slowed the work. Cholera broke out in Burma. War rumors threatened. Finally, after 6 years of labor, the first convert was won. Then death took a new missionary associate from America named Edward Wheelock. Others were converted. Adoniram labored on the other New Testament books, and he completed the entire New Testament in the Burmese language on July 12th of 1823, about 10 years of missionary labor. Nancy then took sick and had to return to America for her health. She returned to Burma December 5th of 1823. They dedicated their lives anew to tell the world of Jesus Christ. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell this world that I'm a Christian. I'll take his gospel everywhere. I'll tell this world how Jesus saved me and how he gave me a life brand new. Trust him, that all he gave me, he'll give to you. soul, my life, my all, are his forever. And where he leads me, I will go. The most difficult hour came during the months when Adoniram was in prison. It all began on June 8th of 1824 and didn't end until November 4th of 1825. 17 months of indescribable pain and agony to his whole being. He was first put into stocks and cast into a windowless prison, where he was blinded by the darkness, overcome with the heat, and gagged from the indescribable stench. At night, the prisoner's feet were raised in the air, so only the head and shoulders could touch the ground. The ground was covered with straw, but it also was covered with filth and swarming with vermin. This process of raising the legs ground the hair in the neck into the filth, numbed the feet and legs, and rubbed the ankles raw. Food was scarce. Death was a definite possibility. Before long, Adoniram was worn and physically broken, almost beyond recognition. The reason for his imprisonment was war with England, and the Burman conviction that all foreigners are spies. On January 26th of 1825, while Adoniram was still in prison, Nancy gave birth to little Maria, Maria Elizabeth Butterworth Judson. After 11 months in prison, Adoniram was beyond recognition. He was a walking skeleton in filthy clothes with an unkempt body and dirty, matted hair. And worst of all, he was very sick. Word came the prisoners were to be moved. They had to make the journey walking in the hot blazing sun without any shoes. As the caravan of prisoners moved from the prison of filth, blisters quickly formed on Adoniram's feet. These burst and left him walking on raw flesh. It's no wonder, as he came to a bridge, one biographer suggests he was probably tempted to jump killing himself. His mind must have wondered, too, if his decision to be a missionary had been worth the cost. What had his missionary venture brought? Death. Death to Harriet Newell. Death to little Roger. Death to Edward Wheelock. Now surely death to himself and probably Nancy and little Maria. And what did he have to show for his years as a missionary? Just a few converts and a New Testament in the Burmese language that probably by now had been confiscated and destroyed. What hope did he have? Had he been a fool, as many had said, to become a missionary? Even those of his friends and his family, when he could have stayed in the United States and been a great statesman or a great pastor? All human logic and all evidence about him pointed to that conclusion. I travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon that Calvary road. The cross became so heavy that I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just take your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things just to walk your narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I heard him gently say to me, I left my throne in glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon that cruel cross. But now we'll make your journey with your hand safe in mine. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, Jesus, if I die upon some foreign field one day, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love has mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just one cup of water I place within your hand, then just one cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can my glory see, then take your cross and follow close to me. After 4 miles in the grueling death march, one man did die. They had 4 miles to go, and Adoniram knew that he would never make it. Death seemed to be certain, and to be honest, it would also be welcome. But unexpectedly, they were allowed to stop to spend the night, a certain release from death, at least temporarily. But by morning, it was even worse. He found he couldn't walk. Death seemed inevitable once again. But again, unexpectedly, a cart was employed for the prisoners to ride in. When the destination was finally reached, the rumor was they were to be burned. But they were allowed to live by God's grace. They slept again in stocks with their feet raised, while the mosquitoes swarmed on the raw soles. There were a few things to be thankful for. Nancy and little Maria had been able to follow him, and he got to see them every day. But in the passing of time, Nancy became very sick, and little Maria was starving to death. He found he was more depressed than ever before. He often recited these words, "No bliss I seek, but to fulfill in life, in death, thy lovely will. No comfort in my woes I want, except what thou art pleased to grant. Our days are numbered. Let us spare our anxious hearts and needless care. 'Tis thine to number out our days, and ours to give them to thy praise." If we could see beyond today as God can see, if all our clouds should roll away, those shadows flee, our present griefs we would not fret, each sorrow we would soon forget, for many joys are waiting yet for you. Could see beyond today as God doth know. Why, dearest treasures pass away and tears must flow, and why the darkness leads to light, why dreary days will soon grow bright. Someday life's wrongs will be made right. faith tells me so. If we could see, if we could know, we often say, but God in love, a veil to throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before, and so we cling to Him the more. He leads us till our life is o'er. Trust and obey. Somehow Adoniram lived, and Nancy lived, and little Maria lived by God's grace and strength. And finally he was released from prison on November 4th of 1825 after 17 months of what I've just described. In the months that followed, Adoniram worked as a translator to help secure a peaceful settlement of the war between Burma and England. But progress was so slow, neither side trusted the other, and to do this work, he had to be away from home. On November 24th of 1825, while he was away translating, he received a letter that he felt certainly bore the sad news of little Maria's death. Quickly, he opened the message and he read, "My dear sir, to one who has suffered so much and with exemplary fortitude, there needs but little preface to tell a tale of distress. It would be cruel to torture you with doubt and surprise. To sum up the unhappy tidings in a few words, Mrs. Judson is no more."